Thank you. Thank you very much for being here. I'm happy to see you. God bless you. And first of all, I'd like to say thank you for the grace what we receive from God, because I know being alive is not something usual. It's the grace of God. So I'd like you to lift your right hand and say, thank you, God, for this opportunity. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, when I speak, I want people to share with me. So allow me to say hallelujah and you say amen. If I say amen, just respond amen. Hallelujah means praise Lord. Are we together? I say thank you for Andrew Toogood. Yes, he is Toogood. He's like his name, too good. Thank you for welcoming me today. And I'm not feeling strange or someone who is invited, but I feel part in the family. And I feel more relaxed, more than I could think. So I'm happy. Thank you very much for allowing me to share the gospel together with the people of God. And you, thank you for coming. If you weren't there, I couldn't be here. How could I preach if you're not there? Do you understand it? So, thank you for coming. I say thank you also for Peter and Gillian Cummings' family for their assistance to help me to continue with some preaching around Belfast. They are really a help, a support for me to do what I'm doing. I'm new in this country, and I don't know places. With them, they're taking me some places to share the gospel, and through them, I'm here with you today. So, thank you. You know, English is not my first language. I speak some few languages. And English can be the fourth, but after English, there are some other few languages behind. So I'm sorry for some mistakes of English. If I can have some grammar or pronunciation mistakes, once for all of those mistakes, I say sorry. Okay? So my name is Shima, Anselm Shima. I am originally from Congo. I was born in Democratic Republic of Congo. I was born in a Christian family. My father and my mother are leaders in the church. And I, by my own, decide to give Jesus my life when I was 14. You know, we have a confusion of life. Being born in Christian family is not the meaning that you are Christian. You can be born in Christian family, but you are not Christian. You have to decide willingly to give your life to Jesus. And once you did that, now you can claim to be Christian. Otherwise, you are among Christians, you are not Christian. So I gave my life to Jesus when I was 14. And since then, I started not easy way with Jesus. I passed through persecutions, trials, but I kept the faith. The title of my testimony is From Death to Life. Why do I say from death to life? Because it's my testimony. Because one day I was dead, and I came back to life through the power of Jesus Christ. The meaning of my sharing my testimony with you is not just for you to hear, oh, this guy was dead and now he's alive, here he is. No, but it's you as well to experience the same power, the same touch from God, the way he did to me, the way he did in my life, he's able to do as well in your life. So it's not only to hear that this happened to his life, this happened to him, but you too, the place where you are, get ready to receive that experience. And you are at the right place to receive that experience and the right time, which is today. I'm not preaching the God Jesus who will do miracle tomorrow or after tomorrow, but I'm preaching Jesus who is able to do it right now. And when I'm be speaking here, get ready, just open your heart to receive what God wants to give you. I can be used like just an instrument to give you something because I received for free and I gave for free. What I received, that is what I can give. The grace I received from Jesus, what he did to me, that's what I'm bringing to you today. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Just say amen. I didn't accept Jesus because of the accident I had, but I was Christian when this happened. This happened in, I have a few minutes and a lot of things to say, but Holy Spirit, just I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to you, Holy Spirit, and use me in a few minutes that I have. Give what you have to give to your people. And all spirits in this hall, I capture them and submit them under the authority of the Holy Spirit for you to receive what you have to receive from Jesus. Now, listen. What would I say? When I received Jesus, I started a process with Jesus in my life. And I passed through many things. And in 2005, after some trainings, I was consecrated as a pastor in my country. And I had the church in charge of me. Now, in 2007, I was in Kenya. I was dead in Kenya, but I'm Congolese. When I was in Kenya, I was living with my pastor. Can you give me the next picture, please? This is my picture before my accident. I had my two eyes, as you saw. But today, this is the result of my accident. I was a pastor, assistant pastor of my bishop in Nairobi. Now, being the assistant pastor of my bishop in Nairobi, he used to give me his appointment to respond because he was busy by something else. Now, as he was busy by something else, I used to represent him for some places, for some meetings. So one day, some students of Egerton University, which is in Nakuru province of Kenya, they organized a concert. And they said, we will invite the wife of my bishop to come to sing because she was a famous singer. Her name was Angela Chibalonza. Now, this lady is renowned not only in Kenya, but in East Africa. When I say East Africa, I see Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, and Kenya, and east of Democratic Republic of Congo. She was renowned. Now, the student organized the concert and they said, Chibalonza, the famous singer, will come to sing. So to allow the organizer to invite Chibalonza, the famous singer, student, you have to buy the ticket. He sold ticket. By doing that, I want you to understand this. The organizer didn't inform Chibalonza that on that day, she will be invited to come to sing for the students. Do you understand that? Is it in English or is it another language? It's fine. The D-Day arrived. Chibalonza didn't know that students at Nakuru University, at Egerton University in Nakuru, they are waiting for her to come to sing. According to the timetable, she will be there around 10 and 11 or half 11, she will start to sing, and 12, half 12, she will finish and go back. At 10, students, they took place waiting for Chibalonza to come in. The stage was already done, everything was ready. They are waiting for Chibalonza to come in. To look at their watches, Chibalonza is not there. Half 10, 11, oh, half 11. They started to ask the organizer, oh, so where is Chibalonza? You said she will come, so where is she? We bought ticket. It's not just to come to sit here. If it's to sit here, we used to say. We bought ticket to see Chibalonza, so where is her? Oh, you know, maybe delayed or maybe jam, traffic. She will come. You know, if students are angry, it's hard to calm them down. If they are decided to claim for something, they'll make sure they have it. The pressure increased. The academic authorities were touched because of the pressure from the student, and they asked the organizer around 12, what is this Chibalonza? Oh, you know, maybe. Student with the pressure, they said, okay, let us call Chibalonza and make sure if she's coming or not. To take the phone to call her, she was not aware about the program. She was home. Hello, Chibalonza, where are you? I'm home. Why are you asking me where I am? I'm home. Why? No, we are waiting for you here. We're waiting for me. Where? Nakuru, which is 4 hours driving. She said, I didn't know. I'm not aware about your program, so I'm not coming. The student jumped on the organizer, trying to bait him, because they understood that he misused the name of Chibalonza, that she will come when she was not aware. When they jumped upon him, he took over the phone and he said, please, Chibalonza, if you not come to rescue me, you will come to bury me, because this student will kill me. Which is common there, you know. So Chibalonza said, okay, hold on, I'm coming. But as I didn't plan expenses for this traveling, for this coming there, okay, plan my transport and I will come. They said, all right. It was 12. She started to wait for the transport to come to pick her up from Nairobi to go to Nakuru. 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3, 5, 6, 7. She said, oh, okay, it's like he might be able to calm the pressure from the student. Now the problem is resolved. Okay, let me continue my program. We ate night, you know, our dinner, we took it at 9, half 9. So by half 9, we finished to take our dinner. When we were sitting just in the sitting room with some tooth stick, removing those stuff in the teeth, some fruits, the phone rang. Who called the organizer and said, listen, Chibalonza, now the car is ready to pick you up. Oh, she said, what time is it? 9:30. Impossible. It's too late, I can't come. You know why? Tomorrow morning, she had another appointment to go to Tanzania for a crusade where she was supposed to go to sing. They booked the flight, they booked the hotel, everything. And she must travel 6 a.m., which means she must be at the airport 2 hours before, at 4 or half 4. She said to the organizer, there is no way for me to go. The organizer said, please, if you don't come to save me, you'll come to bury me. She said, okay. The other barrier is my husband. I don't know if he will accept. You know, she used to see the husband like this, trying to seduce her husband. She changed the look. Instead of asking him the way she used to ask, she turned back, the eyes on the other side. Oh, sorry. Is it my mistake? Sorry. Okay, let me turn this way. She turned back, she put small eyes. Instead of calling him Elisha, she said, sweetie, baby. You know, there are some names just to seduce. There are some kind of calling just to seduce. You know, in Africa, I'm sorry. In Africa, the expenses of the house is just only the husband who cover them. Now, at the end of the month, the wife knows that my husband will be paid, he will receive the money on 25th. So from 22nd, 23rd, 24th, she will be kind in the house because she knows on 25th, money will be there and she'll introduce her request. Do you understand that? That is what she started to do, you know, sweetie, baby, honey. And he said, yes, baby. Can you allow me to go there? She said, the husband said, no, it's too late. No. Look at the time. I can't allow you. She came close. She put the head on the chest. She started to touch her and I said, oh, no, okay. This is no more my place. I leave the space for mature adult people. Let me go to my room. I went and I slept. Around 10 p.m., finally the husband accepted. The invitation was for Chibalonza and the husband. Now the husband accepted. He couldn't go because he said he's feeling weak. He's not in a good mood to go. As I am the assistant, he came to wake me up on my door and knocked and said, Shima, please wake up. I woke up, I came, I opened the door. I was living with him. He came and said, Shima, I'm not feeling good, but I was supposed to go with my wife, so go on my behalf. What could I do? Assistant. Okay, no problem. I put on my other clothes. I came out of my room. We're living upstairs. Now, we called the watchman downstairs because of the security reasons. We have the watchman downstairs. So the watchman closed already the door downstairs. So we called to him to open the door because we want to go out. Calling him, 5 minutes ago, he closed the door. And then when we called him to open the door, he looked the key to open. He misplaced the key. He didn't find the key anymore. Third barrier. Do you understand? The watchman looked the key to open the gate. The key disappeared. He took his coat, removing all pockets to look where he put the key. He didn't find the keys. Chibalonza said, I'm wasting my time here. We have to break the padlock. She called the house boy to bring the saw because we have to cut off the padlock. When we started to cut the padlock with the saw, instead of the padlock to be cut, is the saw broken in two pieces. Do you understand? You know, there are some barriers. Is God telling you, stop a while. Don't go. Wait. You know, some problems what we can face in life is God speaking to us. He might be telling you, wait, I want to prepare you for something great tomorrow. Or wait, there's something bad happening tomorrow. You never know. Just be sensitive when God is speaking to you. The Bible said 7 times in Revelation. He who have the ear to hear may hear what the Holy Spirit is telling the church. How many times God is speaking to you? We didn't understand. We took the hammer. We hit the padlock. The door was open. We went out. We came in the car. When I closed the last door of the car, the watchman shouted and said, "Oh, these are the keys," after breaking the door. Chibalonza said, "You have 3 months unpaid to pay back my door." We went. We did 4 hours. We started at 10. We reached there 2 a.m. At 2 a.m., student was there waiting for Chibalonza from 9 a.m. up to 10 p.m., student was there waiting. And when we reached the place, she sang only 3 songs. And after 3 songs, that was all. We came back in the car because she said, "I have another appointment for tomorrow. I have to go." When we came back in the car, please give me the next picture. This again is me when I was before accident. I was a wee boy, as you can see. You know, here everything is preceded by we cup of tea, we cup of coffee. So there I was a wee boy, isn't it? You know, but even if I was a wee boy, but I was handsome. Anyway, even now I was still handsome. Isn't it, Andrew?
Absolutely.
Ah, yes, absolutely, yeah. Give me the next one, please. I was preaching. This is one of our churches before my accident with my 2 eyes. I put this speech. You know, there are some places God can allow us to pass to have just the proof of testimonies. God was able to take me out of that accident without any scar. But to prove that I was there in that accident, this is just the mark for testimony, the proof of testimony, to see how I was and how I am. And I believe one day you will see me with a miracle. Just give me another one, please. This is the bishop, the husband, who asked me to take his place. The next one, this is Angela Chibalonza, the famous singer. I was with her in that car, in that accident. When she went to sing, this is the one who they were waiting for. Now, at 2 a.m., she said to them, "I have to go because of my appointment. I have to go to Tanzania, and my flight is for tomorrow. It's the morning at 6. If you take the time from Nakuru to Nairobi, it's 4 hours driving. We are to reach Nairobi, it will be 6. And the flight must be at 6, which means he must come early to pass by home to take the languages. From home to go to the airport, which is quite far, the time of the process at the airport, it will be difficult for her to take the plane. So she said to the driver, "Listen, I don't want to miss my flight. Instead of 4 hours, please take it for 2 hours. You know, there's no regulations of transport like here. 2 hours. And the driver said, "Okay, no problem, just put on your seat belt." We took the seat belt, we put on. Now, the driver overspeeded. The needle went to 100, 120, 140, 160, 180 kilometers per hour. Our car was like, it was like a jet want to take off. When we were crossing with the other car, I felt like my heart want to come out of me. And the place where I was, I said, "Oh, no, 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 let me just put my head back and sleep. That is what I did. I put my head back and I slept. The following story was reported to me. What is it? When we were going with that speed, we had the accident. How happened the accident? It was on the highway. There was a lorry standing aside at the checkpoint of the police. The driver was talking for, I was talking to the police officer. We came by behind the lorry. We were supposed to turn back to the other side. Do you understand? For us to continue, first of all, to reduce the speed. After to reduce, we turn side to continue our way and to pass across those roadblock of the police and to continue our way. I don't know what saw our driver. If he saw the car, if he didn't see it, I don't know. He passed away, he could tell us. Now, he came with that speed. Imagine the speed of 100, 150, 160 kilometers per hour to enter under the lorry which was standing. We came in with that speed, with that pressure. Our car was damaged. We came back. Now, our car was going with back tire. Back, how do you call it? But do you say the suspension of the back? Yeah. Now, the back tire continued to press the car to go on. We came for the second time to hit the car. And it was like rolling from the back to the front. And the roof of our car hit the back of the lorry. Imagine the roof of the car is the head of those who are in the car. So we hit our head against the lorry. After that, it was like a pent behind the road. We started to roll the first one, the second, the third roll behind the other side of the road in the carnival. After three rolls and two hits of the lorry, the other side of the door of the road. The police said, "We don't know if there is someone else who is living in that car. Let us go and see." When the police took their torches to come to see if there is someone who is moving to take him to the hospital, they saw some pieces of flesh from the back of the lorry to the place where is our car down there. Small pieces of brain, small pieces of, do you understand what I mean? It's like they smashed a beef and they put those small pieces aside. When they reached the car, to see the car, it was like the tap of water open. The blood was coming out like a tap water open. And they said, "There's nothing alive inside." It was around 4, just after 2 hours. We were far away from Nairobi. We had the accident. Give me the following, please. This is how the car became. I was in that car. The driver was, the driver is the same seat like here. The co-driver was Chibalonza. I was sitting just behind Chibalonza. And two other, we were 5 in that car. Being 5 in that car, imagine I came out with no broken bone. I came out only with this car from the head to the feet. I don't have another one. Who can do this miracle if it's not only Jesus? Imagine the car the way it is. I came out of that car. Where is the situation in which you are where Jesus is unable to take you out? Okay, let's understand that you have
Maybe your situation can be the worst situation. Okay, I understand. Do you think in that situation, Jesus is unable to take you out of that? If he did to me, he's able to do to you. And as I'm speaking to you right now, may your situation change in Jesus' name. We were five in that car, and all of us dead. They took our dead body to the hospital. They started with the procedure to put dead bodies to the morgue, the fridge. They cleaned our body. They did whatever they could do. It was around 6, 7, 8. By 1 p.m., they took my dead body. They started to clean. As you know, this side of my face is like they took that just a knife and open. I was open from here to there, and all this side was open like a book, like that. Now they took the wires. They just tried to repair because it was a human being. They have to repair before to put it in the morgue. So as my eye was broken inside, they took the upside and downside. They closed the eye inside. It was a dead body. There's no way to put more attention. Put it in the fridge. You can put an end to the life of someone, but if God has the continual sentence, his sentence will continue. And I declare to you that is not your end yet. Your end is in God's hand. Hallelujah. Say amen. Now, what happened? By five, the doctor came to give the allowance to put our dead body in the fridge. They came. We were five dead bodies. I was the fifth. The first one was Chibalonza. They took the first corpse, which was for Chibalonza. They opened the box. They put him. They closed. Now, the place where my dead body was, I was laid on my trolley, covered with white sheet, but this left hand was not straight on the bed, but it was on the other side of the bed by 5 p.m. Does it make sense? Do you understand? Now, the doctor came and saw how my hand was on the other side of the bed, and he asked assistant, Who is this one? Why is his hand on the other side? What happened to him? He said, what if now that hand immobilized there? What will you do? One of assistants said, oh, doctor, don't worry. I know this dead body when he came. This hand, if is on the other side, is not for a long time, which means take it back. He came quickly with the mission to take back my hand to the trolley and cover. But when he was coming, you know, if God chooses you for something, nothing will stop him. When he was coming to take back my hand, the doctor, the place where he was just there waiting to see how he will take back the hand. Watching my hand, he saw this middle finger started to move. You know, God, anything is possible to him. There's nothing impossible. My middle finger moved. And when my finger moved, the doctor saw it. And he asked some of us, he said, what is that? He had his how do you call this? Glasses. He had his glasses on. He said, oh, what am I looking at this? What is this? And they said, oh, what is that? Don't you see that the finger is moving? He didn't trust his glasses. He took them off to see clearly, and he saw my finger was moving. And he didn't believe. Now, the guy who came quickly to take the hand back was the witness. Instead of taking the hand back to the trolley, he stopped and started to see how the finger was moving. You know, you touch people and they are untouchable people. You used to take back hands, but there are other hands, you will not take them back. You used to stop people, there are other people, you will not stop them. You are one of them. They will no more stop you anymore. They will not touch you anymore because you are the chosen of God. Instead of taking me back the hand, he stopped and started to see how my finger was moving. And the doctor asked him, is it true what I can see here? Yes, sir, is the finger moving. And immediately he said, this corpse is not dead. Can you imagine that sentence? This corpse is not dead. Can a corpse die again? Can a corpse die again? If he's a corpse, which means he's dead. But he said, this corpse is not dead. This dead body is not dead. It doesn't make sense. But he said, this corpse is not dead. Immediately, he took the death certificate of mine, which was signed already. He said, as he's not dead, I destroy this death certificate. And the Bible said, all condemnations, Jesus destroyed them on the cross on our behalf. There's no more condemnation for us. The way he destroyed that death certificate of mine, the same way today, I declare to you that Jesus destroyed all condemnations of your life. You are free, man. You are free, lady. From now, I declare your freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. They took me to the emergency room. And when they took me to the emergency, they start to see if there is life inside me. All human being signs was negative. Breathing, heart beating, all what you know like human sign being negative. Clinically dead. They said, so doctor, allow us now to put him back in the fridge because when he saw my finger moved, he said, he's not dead, take him to the emergency. In emergency, the results shown that he's dead. They took me back to the morgue, to the mortuary, because the finger is not moving anymore. The results show that he's dead. For the second time, that was around 8 p.m. after the exam from the ICU. Taking me back to the mortuary, they saw, when they want to put me back inside, the same finger moved again, and the doctor saw it. And he said, you didn't check it properly. Take him back myself. I'll go to check for it. Second time to the mortuary. You know, I want to declare that wherever you were going, today is a turning back to the other way. From death to life. The change of direction. Your situation was going from good to bad, but today is from bad to good. Your situation was good to worse. From now is from worse to good. You were from success to failure, but now is from failure to success. What was your destination? Say with me, my destination changed now. What was your destination? My destination was the mortuary, but it changed from the mortuary to the ICU. They took me back. The doctor did whatever he could do, negative. No human sign which was positive. He was confused, but now the finger was moving. How can you explain that? He said, don't put him in the fridge. I'll go to call some of my colleagues to see what they can do for him to survive. He went back and he called some of his colleagues. They said, okay, we'll come to see how we can do. They came the next day, which was the second day of my death, because I was dead for 4 days. Now, the second day they came. When they came, they did whatever they could do. The result was negative. Everyone with his specialty. Specialist of heart, breathing, muscles, brain, and whatever. All of them, the result was he is dead. And even my skin color started to change. The final decision was take him back to the fridge, to the mortuary. When they took me for the third time, God said, no, you'll not put him inside. I have the mission with this guy. Driving me there, they said, okay, which finger was moving? It was left. Okay. They started to see if again that finger will move again. Now, one said, no, listen, maybe for this time it will be right finger which will move. So let us divide it. Four at left and four other at right to see which one will move. And me as a prince, sleeping in the middle of them, they took me, driving me to the mortuary. When they tried to push me inside, the same hand, the same finger, the same position moved again. And those who were on left side, they saw how my finger moved. They called the other one, they said, this is a problematic corpse. They said, this is a problematic corpse. They said, leave him aside. When he would like to stand up, he will stand up. There is nothing else to do. They put me in a room. They closed the door behind. They went. The second day, the third day, the fourth day. Now, they call each other on the third day, going to the fourth day, and said, oh, what happened to our problematic corpse? Oh, okay, we can go to see what is happening to him. The first day they came to open the door, the place where I was, smelling rotten, total decomposition. I was swollen from the head to my feet. My stomach was about to explode because it was swollen. I was smelling. Can you imagine a dead after 4 days in a room? At that time, when my dead body was rotten, my skin color became like green. I was not in this dead body. I was somewhere. You know, we are double. I used to say that. I am not what you see. This is just the envelope of me. I am inside. And the place where I was, oh, what a wonderful place. I was with our Master Jesus. You know, Jesus is real. The one we believe in is real. I saw him. I was with him for 4 days. When the body was struggling with doctors at the hospital, he took me to other place for a teaching, for a message for the church. And that is what I was doing in Africa, preaching, telling people what Jesus said to me. Because of time, God will do something for that. He's aware of that. But what I want to conclude for today is, how did I come back to life? The place where I was with Jesus, the fourth day, the doctors came and said, okay, let us go to see what is happening to our dead body, which our problematic corpse. They came, when they opened the door, they couldn't cope with the smell which was coming out of me. They put some product to reduce the smell. And after that, they took my dead body and said, finally, he's dead. Don't conclude because of the appearance. God is more than the appearance. Things can appear like there is no more hope. But there is hope for hopeless. There is a possibility of change, even if the result is negative, even if the result is saying that is worse, even if it's nothing else to have. Listen, from nothing, something can happen. They said, let us electroshock him to see if there is life. They started to put electroshock on. The place where I was, not in this body, do you understand? In the great beyond. That is the word what I'm using for the book, you know. I'm putting this testimony writing, and I put it in French, Now I'm translating it in English, and Jenny, yes, she's qualified in English. She's helping me to fix some words. And Lauren gave me Great Beyond, which means au-delà in French. And you know, just funny way, yes, she's translating in English. She used to say to me, listen, do you see the book, the front page picture? She said it will be her, and I will put my wee picture just at the back. Anyway, I don't know if it will be possible, but you will advise me. So what happened? In the great beyond, the place where I was with Jesus, he came close to me and he said, Shima, your time to go back is there. And I said, oh, do you think I will go back? No, I'll stay here with you. I'm not going back. He said, Shima, you will go back. I said, no. You know, at that stage, I was like, it was on the top of the high mountain, the place where I was with him. Now, on the top of that mountain, he said to me, Shima, you will go back. I said, no, I'll not go back. I was at the corner, and I said, this guy is so strong than me. If I stay here, he may take me and push me by force by going back. Let me run away from him so that I may not go back and stay here with him. Can you imagine to live there and come back on this earth? Yeah, who can accept that? If it was you, could you accept that? Are you there with him and you accept to come back again here? Oh, with this cold? No, no way. So I said, let me run away from him to avoid him to push me back. When I ran, I find myself that I reach at the end of the mountain. If I do another step, I'll go back by myself. And I stopped. When I stopped, I said, let me turn back and see with the place where if he's on right side, I'll run again on left. Or if he's on left, I run for left. To turn back to see, he was just there behind me. And David said, where will I go far away from your presence? Everywhere he's there. There's no way to hide from God. You can hide from me. You can hide yourself from your neighbor, from the pastor, or from I don't know who, but you can't hide yourself from God. No way. Now, when I turned back to see him, he was just there behind me, and I said, okay, now I have to be gentle to see now how I will escape again. Now, when I tried to turn back to see which side is his weakness for me to hide and to fly, to run away again, trying to turn back, he was close to me. I couldn't. And he touched me on this shoulder. The same hand which was moving at the hospital. He touched me by this shoulder and he said, Shema, it's your time to go back. And he pushed me. When he pushed me, I want to do the combination of two words. Two world. Physical one and spiritual one. The place where I was. Physically, my dead body was at the electric bed waiting for the electroshock. My spiritual one was with Jesus telling me, Shima, you have to go back. Now, what happened? At the hospital, they did all preparations. They are waiting for the switch on of the machine for the electroshock to pass through me. But before them to switch on, the place where I was, Jesus pushed me and said, Shima, go. When he said, Shima, go, immediately, from there I fell down from the mountain. When I was falling, that is how I came back in this dead body, which was at the hospital. Surrounded by doctors waiting for the electroshock, before them to switch on, it was like I was dreaming. And in my dream, I have a nightmare. Someone is pushing me from the mountain. I'm falling. When I was falling, scrolling, hitting on the trees, stones, I was falling down from that dream. Have you have a nightmare one day? How do you wake up? So immediately, I came back in this dead body. Praise the Lord. May that hand of God touch you right now to take you back for your right position. To take your health back to the right position. When he touched me, he pushed me and said, Shima, go back. Immediately, I came back in this dead body. The place where it was, immediately I started to breathe with a spontaneous breath. My eyes was closed. I couldn't open my eyes. The unique touch of God was enough for my breath to come back in. And immediately, I started to breathe. When I started to breathe, my stomach, which was swollen, when I was... immediately, my stomach retrieved his normal form in front of their eyes. Immediately, my breathing system, which was blocked by coagulated blood in it, with the spontaneous breath, all of them were open. Brethren, let the hand of God be upon you to change your situation, to change your health. The way he touched me, may that touch be upon you, upon all of your life and all of what you are doing. Immediately, and they start to ask themselves, he's breathing, he's breathing, he's breathing. Beloved, that is how I came back to life. The unique touch of God was enough for me to come back to life. And when, once alive, I opened my eyes. Opening my eyes, I started to hear his breathing. And I saw them coming close to me. I did that hospital 2 more days to see how I will recover. And after 2 more days, they transferred me to the ophthalmologist because of my eye. But before to conclude, I would like you with me to read just one verse in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 4. I like it in Amplifier version. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible said this: let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in good time for every need. Just give me a second. This is the chair, isn't it? Please, sir, can you come? How are you?
Okay.
What's your name again?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Yes.
Thank you. This is Ryan. Okay, have a seat. I don't know if you saw the way he came to sit. I want you to notice all his behavior when I ask him to sit. Please stand up again. Go over there. Sorry, Ryan.
Okay.
Can you come to sit down, please? Thank you. It's done. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
He came fearlessly, boldly, and confidently. He didn't think twice. He didn't think, maybe this chair is not strong enough to hold me. Look how strong he is. He didn't think, like, maybe this chair will let me down. No, he didn't. I remember on Christmas Eve, I saw on Facebook page of Exchange Church. Who saw it? Did you see it? Lift up your hand if you saw it. Oh, thank you. Do you understand that? That day, he came confident and he knew, I will sit down and I will not fall down. But he was disappointed. If he knew that he will be disappointed, before to sit, he could try to check, oh, will I be down or it will fit me? That is how when God is calling us to come in front of his throne with confidence, with boldness, fearless, and sit because we need help from God. We need to come close to God with confidence. We may have start to think, oh, is it correct that if I go there, God will help me? Is it true that God will heal me? Remove all those thoughts. Put them aside. Just come with confidence, knowing that God will help you. Today, I'm the witness of what God did in my life. Come close to the throne of grace for you to receive mercy and to find help in the time of need. If we can trust this chair, what about the throne of God? If we can trust this one, which was made by human being, maybe you can have a mark there and I sit on it, I can fall down, but I have the trust. What about the throne of God? If I can trust, I don't even know the maker. I don't know who did this chair. I don't trust him, but I trust the chair. What about the throne of God? The one who is calling us? How will I come to him? Which boldness will I have coming to him? Which confidence will I come with it to him? Look around. How do you come close to God? God is able to do more than what we can think. The way he did in my life, he's able to do as well in your life. They transferred me to the ophthalmologist. After the ophthalmologist, you know, my eye was broken. Worms came out of my eye. After being resurrected, they transferred me to the ophthalmologist. When he opened to see my eye, 5 big worms. Do you know worms? Is it English? Came out of my eye. My eye was removed because it was rotten. I remained with empty socket of the eye. And he said, go back, I'll prepare for you an artificial eye. 2 weeks after, when I came back to the hospital, my eye started to grow. This is natural eye, is not artificial. Can you see my eyes, my eye inside? Can you see it? This is not artificial, it's natural. It's eye growing. Listen, brother. If God can do this in my life, what is it impossible to do in your life? Just come with confidence. Come with trust, knowing that he will not let you down. Knowing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give me the following picture, please. This is some weeks after my accident. As you can see, there is a tiny black inside of my eye, what the doctor saw. And from there he said, oh, this is your eye coming back. And when he said that to me, I was interested to take pictures from there to know how my eye is growing day after day. Look at this picture the way I was, and look now the way I am. God can restore any damaged things in your life. What is it damaged? Is it your health? Is it your career? Is it your marriage? God can restore. He's the restorer. He restored me. Look the way I am. Look how I was. Give me the following, please. Look how my eye is growing. Can you see the difference? If God is doing this in my life, what is it impossible to do in your life, brother, sister? Today, receive the change of your situation. Receive the blessing in your life today. What you are expecting from God, receive it now in Jesus' name. What is impossible, I turn it to possible right now in Jesus' name. That is what God is doing in my life. And I believe as my eye is growing, one day I come to you. I can't see yet with it, but next day, a few next day after, I'll come to you. I will see with this one. He's the God. When he started something, he goes with it to the end. He's the finisher. Give me the following, please. This is the report from the police of the for the accident. People may say, oh, no, it's not correct. It's not true that you were there. I have the report from the police. The following, please. The second page of the report from the police. The following is the report from the hospital. The following, please. That is the report from the hospital. The second page of the report from the hospital. Following. I have enough evidences of what God is doing, and myself, I'm the proof of it. The following. This is to show you with this document shows how many days I spent at the hospital. 4 days when I was dead, 2 more days after my recovery, in total, 6 days I was discharged from the hospital. You know, the Bible said, I will take your burdens. Come to me and I'll discharge you. Can you imagine after that crash, only 6 days in the hospital? Just come with boldness to God, believing that he will do the same to you. May God bless you.